Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. So much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for April 15th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's theme is Practical Solar Climate Solutions with Mark Scully of People's Action for Clean Energy. In our news and announcements, lawyers' declaration of conscience, the latest on dumping radioactive water into the Hudson, salmon fish farms, and Biden's outrageous Willow Project decision.
We try to start every show with good news. This looks promising. Climate activists often wind up in court accused of obstructing business, of trespassing, or with various other charges. Traditionally, judges have refused to hear necessity defenses, the defense that basically it was imperative to take this action, to break this law, because there's a bigger problem going unaddressed. That balance may be changing somewhat. The Telegraph in the United Kingdom has reported on a group of about 120 lawyers who have announced that they will no longer prosecute environmental activist groups, for example, in Extinction Rebellion, which has done some very effective protests there. The lawyers' declaration of conscience states that they will no longer prosecute eco-protesters brought into court. That statement is not without controversy, as some legal experts point out that everyone is entitled to legal representation, even those accused of terrible crimes, and lawyers should not be picking and choosing clients. Some signatories may be signing just in solidarity, but still accepting cases that they are assigned.
President Biden's administration approved ConocoPhillips' disastrous oil and gas project in Alaska. The Willow Project is one of the largest proposed new oil operations on public land in the United States and would emit 76 coal plants worth of carbon pollution into the atmosphere. The Willow Project is on the homepage of sierraclub.org, where you can find out how to take action. Many groups are continuing to fight this destructive project. See Center for Biodiversity, Earth Justice, and more. Mother Jones reminds us that President Biden promised that he would not approve this project.
Let's talk fish. Even though salmon are listed under the Endangered Species Act in the U.S., there is a new threat looming. Blue Water Fisheries wants to build the first ocean fish farm off the east coast of Massachusetts. This may seem like it could be a good idea for increasing salmon populations, but is it really? Sounds like greenwashing. Do we have to have a new term? Blue washing? Ha! Fish farming has been done for decades in ponds, on land in tanks, in coastal waters, and recently offshore in Hawaii and California. Although it seems to be better, except for the fish, of course, there are environmental concerns that can't be ignored. Conservation groups have long made the case that farming salmon in the marine environment is bad for wild salmon, in part because the farm fish can escape and jeopardize wild salmon by hybridizing with them and competing with them for food. Conservation groups have also argued the fish farms are bad for the environment because of pollution caused by the antibiotics and pesticides often used. Farm-raised fish are given antibiotics to fight the parasite. This operation will also be raising lumpfish that help control parasites. Now we have another problem of introducing a new species to an area. This is how invasive species begin.
Blue Water Fisheries wants to place 40 submersible fish pens on two sites, totaling nearly a square mile. Farm salmon and trout in such a confined area would be under major stress. And this sort of stress, especially for migratory fish species, is unconscionable and exposes the animals to parasites and disease. Also, the pens are susceptible to weather and predators damaging the enclosures and allowing the escape of the farm fish, which endanger the wild fish with disease and parasites. 2 million salmon escape into the wild each year. So when you think you're buying wild salmon, which are better nutritionally because of their diet, you aren't really. To keep them healthy, salmon and trout have to be fed food that can be used for human consumption. And the danger there is the possible extinction of small prey, such as anchovies and herring. That, in turn, affects the entire ecosystem of marine animals and birds. It doesn't make sense.
Allison Ferreira, a spokesperson for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, said that the agency is working with Blue Water Fisheries and other federal agencies on the regulatory and approvals process. The company needs authorization from NOAA and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, among other approvals. Let's follow and insist on the environmental impact study be inclusive of all these concerns. It would seem the business model is all about what people will buy in restaurants and supermarkets rather than what is good for sustainability of the ecosystem. Follow the story and articles on ecoradio.org.
Ray Corona wrote the next song, Free Harbors, as a response to President Reagan's proposal to put ships of nuclear weapons in New York Harbor.
The raging grannies began when in kayaks they protested putting ships with nuclear weapons in Vancouver Harbor. I'm Mercy Ann Black of the New York City Metro Raging Grannies.
The ships roll out and the ships roll in, and sun shines on the harbor. They carry silk and chocolate creams and lost souls chasing dreams. But beware of the ships that would melt down the sea with bombs that can make all life cease. May our harbors all be free. May the waters always dance in peace. A boat sails out from the curving shore, a new world to discover, where flowers bloom way out on the blue that unknown islands grew. But beware all the ships that would melt down the sea with bombs that can make all life cease. May our harbors all be free. May the waters always dance in peace. The sea knows more than we think she knows, and her anger can be mighty. The continents will fall from her waves and dig the bombers' graves. So beware of the ships that would melt down the sea with bombs that can make all life cease. May our harbors all be free. May the waters always dance in peace. The ships roll out and the ships roll in, and sun shines on the harbor. They carry silks and chocolate creams and lost souls chasing dreams. But beware of the ships that would melt down the sea with bombs that can make all life cease. May our harbors all be free. May the waters always dance in peace.
That was Mercy Van Vlack singing Free Harbors by Ray Corona. She'll be singing that song at the Ray Corona Song Night this evening at the People's Voice Cafe at Judson Memorial Church on Washington Square Park South. The entrance is 238 Thompson Street. Details at www.peoplesvoicecafe.org.
Even as Holtec plans to dump, they would say discharge, radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River, EarthJustice.org reports that a federal district court judge in Texas has issued an anti-science ruling, halting new regulations clarifying the protections of the Clean Water Act. The appeal by Texas, Idaho, and industry groups produced no real evidence that the rule would extend agencies' authority inappropriately. Yet the judge rejected the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA's demonstration of how the new rule would provide clarity and consistency, not the vagueness of which the states and industry complained. Kristen Schlemmer, legal director for the Bayou City Waterkeeper, commented, "Our wetlands deserve protection. By attacking the rule while refusing to adopt any wetland protections of its own, the state of Texas shows its disregard for the communities of our region who rely on these natural features for cleaner water, flood protection, and natural carbon storage."
2 days after the town of Cortland announced their protest rally on May 6th, Holtec announced that they plan to dump radioactive wastewater into the Hudson the day before it. I doubt if anyone thinks that's a coincidence. Ecologic last week with guests Manager Green of Clearwater and David Allen representing the town of Cortland reported on the Holtec outrage. Dave told us about the rally on May 6th. Even though the first release of radioactive wastewater into the Hudson was moved to May 5th, the on-water kayaktivist event is not canceled, but is now an on-land event. Still, bring your kayak to the Cortland Park and Riverplank, but we'll have a huge rally to show we don't want the Hudson River to be radioactive. Please show up with or without a kayak.
We have a great follow-up to last week's story about the solar energy canopies that are being put over parking lots in Connecticut. The article about that is linked from our website, www.ecoradio.org. Longtime listeners may remember an episode of Ecologic with energy expert Lindsay Auden, who was trying to get a bill passed to make it easier to put solar canopies over parking lots in New York State. I sent the Connecticut article to Lindsay, who told me about the solar installation over the Croton Firehouse. To quote Lindsay Auden, It will fully power the firehouse, plus extra juice for when we finish enabling the existing heat pumps to displace most of the oil used by the facility's hydronic heating system. He also told us about the installation of more than 4,000 kilowatts of solar canopies over most of the Croton train station parking lot. He was also hoping to put a solar energy canopy over the Croton Landing Park parking lot, but there are underground utilities there that would prevent canopy footings from reaching bedrock, which is necessary. So that canopy is not happening. But still, there is less fossil fuel being burned for the people of Croton, New York.
Here is Waters of the World by Sharon Abreu from her CD, Penguins on Thin Ice, Musical Review.
That was Waters of the World by Sharon Abreu from her CD, Penguins on Thin Ice, Musical Review. She will also be performing at the Ray Corona Song Night this evening. And we'll be hearing from Mark Scully in just a few minutes.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Breaking news. The dumping of radioactive waste by Holtec into the Hudson River has been postponed. Only postponed. The On Water Kayaktivist event in Cortland is on for May 6th.
And before you hear from Mark Scully and we take your phone calls for him, a very important thing that we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air.
Ecologic serves you and the community with many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have to ask for your help, or how will you know what we need? Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, web webinars. It's all important. Not all of us can get to remote actions, but they're important. And that includes supporting WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you folks like our guest today, Mark Scully. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950.
I know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to help us keep going. WBAI has always taken the time and made the effort to cover stories in depth. We can and do go behind the headlines and press releases and even bring you eyewitness reports. Because we are funded primarily by listeners, by you, not corporate advertisers. If you appreciate our information, please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. We really do. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donor number is 212-209-2950.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us keep community groups get the word out.
Environmental music is so important. We have two Raging Granny CDs for a donation of $35 each, and a Raging Grannies DVD with rare video of a one-hour concert by Pete Seeger and the Grannies at the Clearwater Hudson River Festival for just a $40 donation.
One of the Grannies, Corrine Willinger, is also a panelist on our Pope's Climate Encyclical DVD, available with a donation of $40 or more. That discussion of Pope Francis's 2015 Climate Encyclical was recorded at WBAI-FM by Charlie Olson of the Environment TV. Panelists were Steve Knight, Green Faith, Corrine Willinger, New York City Metro Raging Grannies, and Dr. Marion Ronan of the New York Theological Seminary and the Reverend Donna Schaefer, then with Judson Memorial Church. We couldn't get the Pope to come into the studio that night.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink and the creatures with whom we share this planet. Indigenous folks acknowledge them all as relatives. Check our archives for some of our Celebration of Nature shows.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We really hope that you will help WBAI and the Pacifica Network. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Annual membership to WBAI is just $25, so join us as a voting member. Even better, as a standing BAI buddy for $10, $15 or more a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950.
We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 20 years, so we've covered a lot of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we can offer as thank you gifts to our donors, you. We have more than 25 items from which you can choose from on the website ecologic.wbai.org. They make great gifts as well as treats for yourself. Think about what you can afford, the importance of the information that Ecologic and so many WBAI shows give you, and become a voting member for just $25. Maybe you can find just $10 a month or more to become a sustaining BAI buddy. That helps the station budget its expenses, and it's easier for some folks than a large donation at one time. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and our premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Now we have Mark Scully of People's Action for Clean Energy. Welcome, Mark. Please introduce yourself.
Well, good morning. Great to be with you all. Mark Scully from, as you say, Connecticut-based People's Action for Clean Energy.
I love what you guys have been doing. Very practical solutions to fossil fuel use. And you're working with towns and cities in Connecticut to figure out how to do that. Let's go into detail, because a lot of people think, well, activists on one side, politicians on the other, they never work together. You guys do.
Absolutely. I mean, attacking the climate crisis that we face is going to require action on all fronts. And you just mentioned two of them. Pace's bread and butter work is working with local communities, because we see there's so much that can happen really only at the local level. So we love working with engaged teams of volunteers and helping them sort of understand their town's energy usage and giving them the tools to move to that clean energy economy. And then the second, of course, you mentioned is the advocacy for state policy. We're going to need that tailwind of good policy, mm-hmm. both at the state and federal level.
How is Connecticut doing on the policy front?
Well, the last session was a very productive one. There was a Clean Air Act. There were significant increases made to the solar program. We're still lagging behind our neighbors. We love to look over and see what New York is doing and what Massachusetts and Rhode Island are doing. And in terms of deploying solar, we are behind. Some of the policies that we think are now in place, but we also need to take this crisis a lot more seriously.
Yeah, I look at the top 10 solar states in the country every once in a while, and the top 10 changes constantly. And sometimes Connecticut's in that top 10, and sometimes you're not. But it shows that everybody's increasing. And every time a solar installation is put up, that's a little bit less fossil fuel that's being burnt.
Yep, that's exactly right. And we have ambitious goals to have a carbon-free grid by 2040. One concern we have is that the state will count all of our nuclear power in that number, and we would love to be able to have a clean transition away from nuclear to clean renewables, and we're not moving fast enough. And there is a realization at the state level that if we're going to, as you say, other states are moving quickly, and if we're going to keep up, we're going to have to be a little more aggressive.
And because solar is a smaller percentage, that those rankings can change quickly with one or two big installations, and the more the merrier.
And there's a map that you guys are putting out. Tell us about that map. That's really neat.
So we all know that we're going to need a lot more solar power. And increasingly, we see challenges and actually finding places to put it, right, these siting challenges. We've seen that, I know, in my own hometown where a very large solar array was built. And it was very controversial, right? It brought out the neighbors with their pitchforks. And we see this increasingly, that these siting challenges pitting environmentalists against environmentalists, because we all want clean energy, but we also want to preserve our farmland and forests.
Yeah.
So it got us thinking, where else can we put solar? So we got looking at parking lots, and that's the map that you referred to. We've really inspired by some work done in New York by Rockland Goes Green on looking at how much solar you can put on parking lots in the lower Hudson Valley. We set about answering that question for how much solar could we put on parking lots in Connecticut, and that map that you referred to is on our website.
Which is?
That website is?
Which is www.pacecleanenergy.org. That's PACE, cleanenergy.org.
There's a lot of great information on that website, and it's It just made me look forward to the show more and more the more I read what you're doing on the One Shot and the more I talk to you. And, you know, Ecologic talks about what corporations and governments are doing to the climate and not for the climate. And practical solutions are so important. And it's great that they're happening. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Connecticut and New York are the only states. Massachusetts is almost always in the top 10 for a number of solar installations. So is New Jersey. So there's a lot of solutions that are being done kind of every day.
And I know that, you know, municipal governments often will want to make, you know, more solar energy, you know, or realize that they're going to have to be forced to one way or another, and they need the technical knowledge. So being able to look at a map like yours and see, yeah, this might work, it helps them.
Yeah, it was, as I say, this was this work was inspired by New York, so it's great to be on your radio show today speaking from New York. And, you know, solar canopies are a real win-win solution because they provide the electric power that we're going to need. And they use real estate that's already been degraded. We're not taking down more prime farmland or forest.
Yeah.
And an interesting thing, if you look at that map that Ken asked about, it flies in the face of how we typically think about solar. You know, we used to think, or we typically think, oh, we've got lots of room for solar out in the countryside, right? That's where the open space is. And yet you look at this map, and where are the solar canopies? Well, they are where the people are. They are along the main travel routes, and they're where the electric load is. So putting the solar in this resource that is really right under our nose and has already been developed, is a really win-win on sort of multiple levels.
And it also means you're not transmitting the energy long distance, so you're not losing in the transmission process. The closer you can have the generation to the use, the better.
That's exactly right. And the grid becomes a lot more stable, right, when you've got power sort of everywhere, right? Yeah, it's really got lots of benefits to it. It is there, you know, solar canopies can be challenging to build. You not only have to put the solar panels up, you've got to build a structure, so the cost tends to be a bit higher, and we're seeing them built in particular in places where there are other benefits, right? You know, police stations and school bus lots love them because all the vehicles are under protection. They provide shading. You can pair them with electric vehicle charging very easily. So in those situations where there's a, we call it co-benefit, we're seeing these canopies get built.
Yeah,
Mark,
how
can we get more of these canopies built? How can we get more solar installed? What are the pluses and what are the obstacles?
Right. Well, I think the first thing we can do is what we're doing this morning: talk about them, right? Just raise awareness. If you weren't aware of them, and I'm guessing most of your readers were very well aware of these, but if you weren't, then now keep an eye out, you know. And if you've parked under one some hot summer day, you're going to appreciate them and maybe take that idea back and say, gee, we need one of those in our town, or that, you know, my business could build one for our customers. So I think raising awareness is a great start. And I think what we've seen in several states is because we value solar canopies, this is something we want. We want to not only have the energy, we want to preserve our farmland and forest. So we will pay a little more for that. And some states have a somewhat more generous and rich incentives and rebates for building solar canopies. So I know we've seen that in New York. We've seen that in Massachusetts. Connecticut is moving in that direction, but because they are providing this additional value, it's worth paying a little more for them.
I know New Jersey has incentives for public charging stations for in certain places. I don't know if they have solar canopies. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, we're talking about the upfront costs. And it's kind of strange that when a fossil fuel company builds a power plant, they do not talk about the upfront costs of building a huge power plant. They go, well, we'll pay for that over the years. And yet, when somebody wants to build a solar installation, they talk about the upfront costs. And eventually,
the cost of that is now free because the power you're getting from that installation is free. And there's no way that a fossil fuel plant can outcompete something that's free. So they try to talk about upfront costs to make solar energy seem more expensive, but it's not.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're really caught sometimes in this short-term thinking. You know, we've in our energy model that we run for towns in Connecticut, we actually project out what will it cost to transition to this new clean energy economy. And yes, in the near term, it's going to cost a little more. We're going to have to invest in solar. We're going to have to invest in electric vehicles and charging and in heat pumps. But once you've done that, as you said, Ken, the marginal cost of your energy plummets. And it's going to be very disruptive to energy markets, but eventually we'll be in this downward technology curve of very, very low-cost energy. But we've got to get there.
Speaking of disruptive to markets, I saw an article that says that the well-publicized divestment campaigns are having an effect on energy company stocks. And they're recognizing that, you know, it's short term, guys. You're going to have to get out of that eventually. And that's a good thing.
And it's the same way for solar on people's homes. They may think it's expensive, but how much money they're going to be saving in the long run for 20, 30 years.
Well, and for a home, it raises the property values.
Unfortunately, you look at the cost of solar panels and how it has come down. I mean, over 90% decline in the last decade. We're seeing the same thing now with maybe on a little more incremental basis with battery storage. So the cost of technologies go in one direction, right? They're going to go down. So the sooner we get on that sort of downward technology cost curve, the better we are.
Hasn't battery storage always been the thing that stops people? Talk about that. What are the advances in battery storage, and what do we still need?
Well, pairing solar generation and pairing solar canopies with storage is a great solution because, as we know, solar and wind are intermittent renewable sources, energy sources, right? The sun does not shine at night, and there are days when it's not, and there are seasons when we don't get as much energy. So storage is a great way to really increase the capability of solar to really provide the needs that we all need and that the grid needs to support. So the more solar paired with storage is essential to the grid operating. But that's really, it's not that complicated. We need more solar. We need more wind energy, and we need a lot more storage to be able to balance out the grid. And fortunately, as we pointed out, the cost of storage is coming down, and states are starting to see we need this. It stabilizes the grid. It helps us deploy more renewables. Let's incentivize it.
And the technology for storage is getting better, right?
Absolutely. I'm not a battery expert, but the incremental improvements certainly in lithium ion batteries make that technology very feasible, not to speak of any potential breakthroughs in flow batteries or other sort of more cutting edge.
Yeah, I just saw an article about sodium being a China doing some research on sodium batteries. I just saw a headline, but
yeah, what's exciting is we're starting to
sodium nuclear reactors are a boondoggle, so I don't know about the batteries.
I mean, it's exciting to see that that all the car manufacturers are now heavily investing in batteries. So we're going to see terrific advances. I think even if they're incremental over time, the compounding effect is going to make these technologies feasible.
Yeah, and I hear the utilities refer to solar panels and electric cars as being contagious. that whoever the first person is to get one, all the neighbors are like, "So, what's it like having an electric car? What's it like having solar panels?" And then they're like, "Ooh, I want it too." And it's Staten Island, is the most Republican borough of New York City, and it has the most solar installations. So clearly, it's not individual politics that affect it. It's the individual savings.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We've been working, had the fortune of working with Professor Ken Gillingham from Yale, and he's looked very closely at this contagion question. Whereas you put up solar, your neighbors do it. And he's also, it's interesting, you see that people who put up solar are also the ones that then go buy an EV and put that battery storage in. So there's contagion on, across technologies as well.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 people with electric vehicles also have solar panels. And that's clearly not just a coincidence.
No, it's an attitude of being willing to try the new thing, to spend a little extra up front and do something active and having the resources to do the same.
Yeah, one of my friends who owns a home upstate New York is putting up solar because she knows she's going to be leaving her home to her daughter, and so she wants her daughter to have no electricity costs.
There you go.
She's thinking long term.
That's a heck of a nice gift.
Right?
It's a nice inheritance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we'd like to hear from our listeners. Call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. We've been talking with our guest, Mark Scully, about solar panels, solar canopies, and renewable energy.
And remember, the rally to stop Holtec's dumping of radioactive waste into the Hudson is still on May 6th in Cortland, because Holtec has been forced to postpone the dumping of radioactive waste into the Hudson. So we'll be on the water.
Actually, yeah, they don't have an injunction or anything. They're doing this to show their cooperation with the community. We'll see how long that holds up.
And we know that the bad guys never do anything to be nice. They do it because we spoke up. So don't stop speaking up, everybody. That's what Ecologic is for. Ecologic is there to tell you the things that you can do to empower you to be able to make those calls, make those emails, sign those petitions, go to those rallies, show up in Cortland on May 6th, whether you're on the water or on the land, to protest Holtec's dumping of radioactive waste.
All right. The number is 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Hi, it's Russ. You know, I care about WBAI, and I will care about Ecologic when I can afford to send more money. It's important to have a diversity of opinion so we can work things out. But I want to ask Mark something, and something was said earlier about good guys and bad guys, and I don't think it's so clear who the good guys to support are and who the bad guys to oppose are. You know, I go back. I'm sorry that Mark omitted geothermal. I think geothermal is the best way to go, and the Earth itself is the battery. But, you know, I go back to Earth Day 1970. I always pick up litter. But, you know, I think there was a problem with the shift from environmentalism to climate change catastrophizing, and it's caused by hyperbole and misinformation. And I think we have to address disaster capitalism getting in the way of things. Now, people are proposing nuclear power as an alternative to fossil fuels. That's ridiculous. And it's not so clear who the good guys are. When you talk, I'll be real quick. When you talk about e-bikes and cars, these lithium batteries are causing fires all over New York. And apparently, insurance companies won't insure cars, electric cars that are parked in garages. We've rushed into things where angels fear to tread. And, you know, due to mindless social justice warriors like this city council person, Gail Brewer, we're having fires in all the apartments on the Upper West Side. We have to call them out. And I thank you for letting me say that. But, Mark, if you could address...
Russ, battery technology that we were talking about, the improvements in it, the number of fires, the amount of heat that they keep until something catches is getting less and less. The fire question has been dealt with technologically. Now, as far as heat pumps go, Mark Scully is also, what did you call yourself, Captain...
Freddie Heat Pump is one of my aliases.
Yeah. So Mark is exactly the right person to ask about heat pumps.
Well, and I very much agree with your sentiment, Nicola, that it's too simple to say these are good guys and these are bad guys, right? And
Okay, I'll give you that. Sometimes there are shades of gray, no question. But overall, we need to get off the dirtiest and onto the cleanest sources of energy. Right,
well,
Mark?
Finish what you were saying, Mark.
I just think calling someone a bad guy isn't highly motivating. And I think what is fortunate is that the technology is there, the science is there. There are, as you say, some of these products are fairly new in their development. Lithium ion batteries, they have an issue of thermal overload, but you look at how many Tesla cars have been built and how few fires there have been. So I think, you know, there are going to be some teething pains as we roll out some of these technologies, but I don't think we need to listen to anybody preaching about good and bad guys. We just need to look at the science, and we don't need to exaggerate the science at all. We're seeing it happen already today, and we do need to be much more aggressive than we are. And that is going to mean pushing the envelope a little bit on some technologies. And yes, there will be some mistakes made, but it's exciting to see that, you know, after having developed internal combustion engine cars for 100 years, we're finally pouring our investments into better motors, better batteries, and we're seeing the same thing on battery storage and the investments in solar. I think there's enough of a transition that we need to make that really a lot of these formerly sort of bad industries, there's work for them to do. We need their skills. We need the people who know how
absolutely.
To drill. We need them to drill geothermal, as you said, terrific resource there.
And we have another caller standing by.
I want to make one point to Russ, is that there are Republican and Democratic sponsors to the bill to stop dumping a radioactive wastewater into New York waterways. So this is a bipartisan issue with bipartisan support. And I think this is a great example of, you know, who are the good guys and the bad guys. You can't put a label on the political party necessarily, although, yes, it's more Democrats than Republicans, but there are Republicans sponsoring it, and that's important, especially in New York.
And the other thing is that down in West Virginia, the unions are pushing Manchin, saying we want to work on those clean energy jobs. You know, he's got his own financial reasons for sticking with the coal, but the people are pushing ahead.
212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Oh, thank you so very much for allowing me to speak. I'd like to ask a question on solar panels. Now, I know that solar panels basically will give us energy to power whatever, light our houses from the sun, getting the energy from the sun and storing it. Now, I also know that the electric companies say that if you get solar paneling, that it will cause your meter to go backwards when you're using the solar energy and not the electrical energy. So there's still a connection in regards to who's controlling what you have to pay, because you have no knowledge on exactly how it's being calculated. That's point number one. Point number two, solar paneling, the storing of the energy. What is the element that's used to store? I know for the batteries, lithium and all, that element is not found in the USA, but I believe it's in the Congo, that is Africa. So, therefore, with the climate between the African nations and America at the present time, which is not in a favorable light, and I say that from even Pamela, that is President Pamela, Pamela Harris meeting there, and when the African nations were summoned to come to America for an economic reason or discussion, shall I say, agenda, they were not given. So they came without knowing what they were going to do, but they were very obedient. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, the climate is not a well, it's not a favorable one. That's number two. Number three is, how are the elements necessary for all of these power storage units going to be obtained when the country or the continent, which holds more than half, I think it's 70% of the element, is going basically telling America, get your house in order before you come and try to destroy
okay. We're running out of time, so Mark?
Well, there's a lot of several good questions embedded in there, and we're seeing an absolute revolution in the use of solar and in the use of batteries for electric vehicles. There will be challenges. My understanding is there is a significant resource of lithium, even in the United States as well.
Yeah, there is.
And I think, you know, for one, I think we all need to commit to mining the lithium, mining the cobalt, mining all of the materials that we're going to need. We need to do that humanely. We need to not further disadvantage those countries who are already suffering from climate change. And again, we're seeing technological advances. I believe that half of Tesla's batteries already do not contain cobalt anymore. So we're going to face many challenges, but let's do this right. Let's do this humanely.
And if we use less energy in the first place by being more efficient and not wasting what we buy and what we make, we won't need anywhere near as many batteries. And efficiency, we're talking about the supply side, but the user side is important too. We need to use less.
That's absolutely right. Efficiency has to come first.
Oh, and uranium for nuclear power plants tends to come from either South Africa or Native American lands.
Okay. And Mark, we're at the end right now. Is there anything that you'd like us to know real quick that you'd like our listeners to do?
Well, you know, I think there've been some good questions, and I think addressing climate change used to be a bipartisan issue, and I think each of us have things that we value, right? And whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, we all value clean air. We want to enjoy nature. We like to ski. We like to fish, right? So we share these values. And the fortunate thing is these technologies, the cost has been coming down. We're seeing they make economic sense as well. So I'm hopeful that we're seeing a bit of a change in both attitudes and in the recognition that we need to move more quickly. So thanks for the opportunity to speak today.
Yeah, just a reminder of upcoming musical events. Tonight, April 15th at the People's Voice Cafe, Ray Corona Song Night.
Yay.
They wrote songs about the environment, war and peace, social security, jobs, healthcare, water, prisons, women's rights, and much more. The start time is 8 p.m. It's at Judson Memorial Church on Washington Square Park South. The entrance is 238 Thompson Street. Details at www.peoplesvoicecafe.org. In 2 weeks, on April 29th, is the New York City Labor Chorus's Paul Robeson concert. Information is on their website, www.nyclc.org.
And sorry we didn't have time to get to all of our callers, but it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. To connect with PACE, go to www.paceclanenergy.org, pacecleanenergy.org. For more information on Holtec's accelerated plan to dump radioactive water into the Hudson River and the May 6th protest, keep listening to Ecologic and go to our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. Join us next week, April 22nd, for our two-hour Earth Day special. We'll have a deeper coverage of some of the biggest environmental stories, music, listener calls. So join us at 6 and plan to settle in with us. Bob Henley of What's Going On will be one of our guests. Check our website, ecoradio.org, for details.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, and we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org, leave off the www, and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges.
Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. We're community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen, the engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, April 22nd for our two-hour Earth Day special with expanded special programming.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
give me the
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement. I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks
like you and me to stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Don't let the system hold you down.
You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bill Samuels, founder of NYPeoplesConvention.org. WBAI is New York's leader in progressive talk. Whether the issue is prison reform, education reform, the legalization of marijuana, or women's rights, the people's issues